Thanks for joining us again for another episode of Launch Out, Going Deeper with Jesus, a podcast with Bishop Tommy McGee. In this episode today, we are continuing the conversation on working from weakness. Continuing to use the lens of the Apostle Peter, we will be looking at the effects of a global pandemic on ministry, as well as what happens when a leader experiences moral failure. My favorite part of this episode is at the end when Bishop McGee prays for those in ministry and all leaders around the world, whether in full-time vocational ministry or not. If you haven't listened to part one yet, you can find it at iphc.org/launchout. We're so glad you're here. Now, let's rejoin the conversation. That's a great encouragement, I think, for any person following Jesus, whether they're in full-time ministry or they are called to ministry in a different way, maybe in a work environment, that call that God wants to use us. You know, I think there's that movement from the pride of we know. And I think to some degree, it's the pride of thinking that we can use God as the tool to right. further our own ends. But to say, I'll be the tool. I'll be the clay. Mold me. Make me just as you see fit. I think that's a great transition for us. It's continuing this conversation on weakness, but to think about, I think the last year has exposed a lot of things for us. And it's probably really drawn out insecurities for pastors and leaders, uncertainty, probably fog. This, we don't know what's next. Every couple of weeks, it feels like the future is looking different. So how does this conversation transition for us into the modern setting? How do we pull these truths from Peter's story, these truths of Jesus, to help us think about ministry right now? For the pastor who's realizing, now they're in the place of understanding, the place of realizing their weakness. How do we lean into that and say, God, I accept it. God, I see it, and now help me walk forward. What's the beginning place there?
I think the beginning place is to know that he knows, to recognize that the pandemic did not catch the Lord off guard. And I think at every level, Johnny, I've talked to pastors, I've talked to youth workers, I've talked to discipleship leaders, and I've talked to me.
Yeah.
And I know that the last year has been difficult. I'm accustomed to a very busy preaching schedule. When the pandemic hit, it's like everything went away.
Yeah.
No presiding assignments, no revivals, no special days of preaching in different churches. And, you know, and it's kind of like, okay, what am I here for?
Mm.
One of our discipleship ministry directors, when we were together and just sharing, he cried and he said, I feel useless.
Wow.
I talked to a young man today. He was on my mind last week. I called him, didn't get to talk to him, but I caught him today on the phone. And he described dark periods over the past year. And,
yeah.
And I was able to try to encourage him by telling him three things about the darkness. First of all, our darkness is not unusual.
Yeah.
If you read the Bible, so many of God's special people had dark periods in their lives.
Yeah.
Modern people, even a lot of preachers used to quote Charles Spurgeon. I don't hear anybody quote him much anymore, but he had dark periods as a great preacher and successful preacher, crowds of people that came to hear him preach. So I told this young man, your darkness is not unusual. You're not the only one. And I said, and your darkness is not unfruitful. And I made the comment to him, and you and I were talking earlier about how sometimes it's kind of the sub-comment that people pick up on. And,
right.
You know, we think, well, you missed, this is the big point over here. And I just made the statement. I said, you know, some of the fruit of the Spirit ripens best in the darkness. And then the third thing I told him is your darkness is not unending.
Wow.
Sooner or later, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. So I think for the people, all of us who have gone through a time where ministry is not there, either on a personal level or on a public level, it exposes our weakness. our weaknesses, that we are dependent so much on what we do.
Mm. Wow.
And probably God, through this period, has been saying, let's talk a little bit about who we are.
Yeah.
And then later we'll get back to
what we do. We'll get back to what we do. Yeah.
And so I think this young man had a great testimony through all of this dark periods he's been through. I think he told me, he wasn't counting them. I was trying to kind of count them. 17 people stood in a youth service to accept Christ. Person saved at a funeral. Woman he won to the Lord. His own father he went to visit, and he prayed the sinner's prayer. And it was like, in the last month, it seemed like 30 people come into Christ.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, wow, I think ministry has returned. And I think also during the pandemic period, we have been forced to look for other avenues of ministry.
Yeah.
My dad, and we said we might do a podcast sometime just on my dad, but one of the things he told me when he retired, he told me, he said, son, my voice is getting weak. He said, it's harder for me to preach. He said, but I've decided what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. And I said, what is that? He said, I'm going one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk to people. So I think for me, ministry has gotten really a lot simpler during the pandemic period. I might not can go and preach at a celebration service, but I can pick up the phone and call my friend and say, I'm thinking about you today, and I feel like God wants me to tell you this to encourage you. That's pure and simple ministry.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's easy. I think sometimes that the weekly routine that develops around a Sunday service, hosting the event, it's easy to get distracted by the planning for the event. And I think when the event disappeared, you're right. We were so caught up in the doing that everybody had to kind of step back and say, okay, who am I? the identity component.
One of my pastor friends told a group of us, he said, I felt I was spinning plates. And when the pandemic hit, the plates all dropped.
Yeah.
And I was no longer running around trying to keep them spinning.
Right.
And he said, during the pandemic time, I realized I didn't need to be spinning all those plates.
Wow.
They were not all necessary.
Wow.
And he said, so for our church, we're simplifying ministry.
So maybe there's an illustration there talking about weakness and in some sense, in some cases, failure. They have a way, a good understanding has a way of helping you redefine what's necessary and what's essential. So what are some things maybe, you know, if you're a pastor and you're looking ahead, it seems like there's a reopening, right? Things will be going back to what we're accustomed to. What are the safeguards? What are the things that we can do to prevent ourselves trying to be the tool wielder as opposed to being useful to God, to do the things that He would direct us to do, as opposed to telling Him what we're going to do and hope He joins?
John, I think the key is to not forget what happened during the pandemic. Not forget, from my pastor friend, don't forget you don't need to spin all those plates.
Yeah.
You don't need to go back as business as usual. You need to take what you've learned during this period and actually apply it, and don't get caught up in we got to be like we were. The church needs to be different in some ways. And so I think that's kind of the first thing, is to not forget what God said to us, not forget how we felt, and not forget particularly what God's word and what God's spirit did in our lives during this period of time. Because there are times, a lot of times in scripture, the Bible says, remember. Mm. The same Simon Peter wrote in his letter, I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance.
Yeah.
I want to remind you of things. And so I think the lessons we've learned, and if we haven't learned any lessons, I think it's time to say, God, what were you teaching me?
Yeah. Yeah. Reflection.
Help me.
Self-awareness.
Help me to learn. I couldn't tell you the number of times, Johnny, that I've, in going through difficult times, I've I don't want to sound overly spiritual, but I've laid on the floor on my face before God and said, God, please don't let me go through this and not learn what you're trying to teach me. Wow. Something. Please don't let me go through this and not learn what you want me to learn. And so I think it's a time of honesty and just saying, God, did I get it?
Yeah.
Did I learn what you wanted me to learn? Because I don't want to go back to business as usual if that's not what you want.
Wow, that's a powerful, you know, the posture of a disciple is a learner.
Exactly.
Wow. You know, to that. Exactly. Ben, what is a learner? It's a weak one.
Yeah,
they rely on the teacher. Exactly. Right. I'm missing something. I need you to instruct me. So thinking about keeping this conversation modern, you know, recently some really hard news, I think, for the Christian faith, for our public witness, the story about Ravi Zacharias becoming public. You know, that's a weakness of a different sort. I think it fits in with our conversation, you know, a weakness of sin. And not always publicly, we may not know what's happening in someone's life, but I think the devastating effects of that. I've recently read that they are now canceling Ravi Zacharias' apologetics ministry. That's going away. They're going to do other things. I think, what a loss. What a loss. But what can we learn from that story? You know, what are the things that we can take away from this man who had such a public ministry for so many years, impacted so many people, and then we find out there was this devastating hidden secret that was playing along in the background? How do we make sense of that reality?
Johnny, I think one of the problems is that we don't have to make sense of it. I think that's our weakness, is we want to, I know it is for me, I'm an analytical person, and I want to put the round pegs in the round holes and square pegs in the square hole. I want to be able to look at it and say, okay, here's how it fits. This is the complete puzzle. And I realize that one of our weaknesses is there's so much we don't know.
Right, yeah.
All of what we know now is devastating to the body of Christ, to the millions of people who admired his work, and his work was good.
Right.
It doesn't mean that it's just like if a preacher is living in sin, but he preaches the word of God, the truth is still good.
Right. The word doesn't come back void, right?
The word is still what's real. It's the vessel that was broken and the vessel that was where the problem was. So for me, I would read Ravi Zacharias. I would study his work because he did great work. The failure does not discount the truth of what he spoke and what he taught.
Right.
And the other thing that I would caution all of us to be careful to not rise up in a judgment that we don't know enough. You say, what else do we need to know? Yeah. We know that these sins happened. We don't know what I mentioned to you earlier in a discussion. I don't know what it would be like to live with an intellect like he had.
Mm.
I know, as we said earlier, our strengths are also our weaknesses. So to be that smart, I don't know what it would be like as to how the enemy comes against somebody that is that smart.
Yeah.
Probably uses their smartness to trip them and to trick them.
Yeah.
Just like with Simon Peter, his strength.
Yeah.
He used that against him.
Yeah.
And we don't know what dysfunction, we don't know what medical issues. There are just so many things. And those are not condoning in any way. It's just saying, I don't know what he went through. I don't know what I would do or anyone else would do in those sets of circumstances, just like we said earlier, that Satan sets these things up and we don't know what we would do. Here's how to kind of wrap that subject up. I would like to believe there was a place before he died that he said, God, please forgive me. I was so wrong. And I was wrong to think that I didn't need safeguards around me, to think that I didn't need all of this, all of the people around me that would, you know, I didn't need, you know, forgive me for that, which led to me doing this.
Right.
And I can't help but think, when I listen to the dying thief on the cross, and I can't help but think that Jesus would say, I forgive you. Mm. There's this tendency to think that God shouldn't forgive certain things, which means we don't understand the whole concept of forgiveness.
Isn't that the enemy's way, right?
Yeah.
We live in a society where the world is beginning to rise up in judgment against people right. for failures. And the gospel is not that. It's the opposite of that. It's that in spite of failure, in spite of the things that should discount us, the gospel says, come. You're still welcome if you come in faith. I think that's a great, we have to hope for the gospel's sake that he is, right? That he can be forgiven.
Yeah. We all quote John 3:16,
yes.
God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But we forget that what precedes it is that I came not into the world to condemn the world. But I came to save the world.
Yeah.
We can heap all of our condemnation that we want. I don't feel better by heaping condemnation
right.
on a person like this. I feel better in believing that he and the Lord worked things out for his ultimate eternity. Not, it doesn't discount the damage that's done.
Right, right. But, and there's work. Obviously, there's work to be done
right.
to reconcile. There's healing that needs to take place because of his actions. But we can hope, we can believe that he could have, that he was restored. I think what I want to take away from that, this is a, you know, the failure of a weakness of sin. What are the safeguards? You know, one of the things that was stood out to me reading that story, and you mentioned this, he was breaking his safeguards.
Right.
So how do we put people around us? How do we begin to have relationships that are vulnerable enough to say, here is where I'm weakest. Please help be my guard. I think sometimes we internalize that and we say, this is my weakness to bear. No one else needs to know about my weakness. And that's exactly the place where the enemy presses in and says, bingo, I'd love for you to press into your, you know, and hide and cloak that weakness. So how does a pastor, how does a lay person, what are those relationships like? And how do you begin to have those kinds of relationships to guard ourselves? Because I've said this before, we are our worst critic and we're our best lawyer, right? We are so quick to condemn ourselves sometimes, but we are very quick to say, oh, that wasn't so bad. Oh, this isn't such a big deal. And pretty soon we're out on a limb.
Right.
And we're still saying, this isn't so bad.
Right.
So what do we, how does a person, a disciple, a follower of Jesus, put in place the things to protect themselves?
I would like to think that probably a person like this at one point had safeguards.
Yeah. Yes.
I think it's twofold. I think it's the individual when they start breaking those safeguards. And it's also those people who have been safeguards to not let them get away with it.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know how to judge righteously, but I'm just saying there's the potential that the people believed in him so much that they didn't ask him the hard questions. There needs to be people around us who can ask us hard questions and don't just take our answers as words, but they look for proof that we're doing what we say. And so I think having people around us who would, who would say, look, I'm going to go public with this if you don't straighten it out. But there's such a danger in becoming so powerful and so successful that you can get away with saying, I don't need this anymore. I'll be my own
yes.
accountability partner.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the real danger is I don't need anybody around me.
I've read one time Chuck Swindoll had 6 pastoral questions he would ask in a counseling situation. He would ask 5 kind of pointed questions, but what made me kind of laugh, the 6th question was, have you just lied to me?
Yeah.
That'll cut to the heart, right? It's like, man, what are we willing to say to keep things hidden? But who are the, I think that's, who are the people?
I heard Paul Walker, who's going to be with the Lord now, great Church of God pastor and leader, pastored Mount Perrin Church of God in Atlanta, built such a large, great church. I heard him one time talk about one of the things that the Holy Spirit does. He said his mother was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said he couldn't get away with things because she had the Holy Spirit. He said he came in one night and his mother asked him, said, Paul Laverne, have you been smoking? He said, no, ma'am. She said, and now you're lying. So having people with discernment of the Holy Spirit around us who,
right,
who know us, and they can see those little subtle things that others can't see.
Yeah.
And they'll say, you know, this has changed. Let's talk about this. But again, you know, there's something powerful about sin and the partnership with Satan, that he will help you if you decide you want to break down those things. He'll actually help you, and he'll help make it convenient for you to be able to not only do what is wrong, but to condone and justify yourself. He's great at that. He's been doing that since the Garden of Eden. You know, as God said, you know, and you will not surely die.
Yeah.
So he's there to help. And he, going back to Simon Peter, I remember three things quickly that are part of that. Satan likes to attack during stressful periods. He likes to attack at strong points where we think we're strong. He likes to attack strategic people. Mm-hmm. I think the more strategic a person is, the more they carry a target on their back. I wouldn't long to be a person of, well, I need to be careful there because we're all strategic people.
Yeah.
If you failed or I failed, there are people who would
there's be a hurt ripple effect
and be
right.
devastated.
Yeah.
But the enemy wants to take advantage of as much negative press as he can to tear down the work, because there are two things that the enemy hates. He hates the person of the Savior, and he hates the people of the Savior. And we should never be so self-confident that we think we don't need anybody to tell us what to do, or we don't need accountability. But we don't want to lose the lesson that we have to be accountable, but that we always have a forgiving Savior.
Yes.
And I probably did more of this back in the days of other TV
yes.
celebrities who
right.
failed, kind of like, you know, yeah, you know, you shouldn't have.
It was almost that you sit back and say, well, I knew that would happen. Yeah. Right?
Almost like getting our lapels and saying, well, I know I'd never do that. One thing for sure, you don't have to worry that I would do something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I told people one time, I said, I've never stolen $1 million, but again, I've never had a chance to steal $1 million. I don't trust myself that much to know or to believe that I know what I would do in a given set of circumstances. That's why we pray, lead us not yes. into temptation,
yeah.
but deliver us from all evil.
Yes.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
Bishop, I'm going to ask you simply to close this time in prayer, asking God to be with us, helping us to reveal our weakness and giving us the strength to lean into that, and also praying that His Holy Spirit will protect us and guide us.
Father, we do pray as your Son Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us for our trespasses, and help us to forgive others who trespass against us. But, O Lord, particularly, lead us not into temptation, but please deliver us from all evil. But thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Lord, we are more aware of our weaknesses than we used to be, but we are probably not as aware as we need to be. So God, I pray that you would work in us and through us. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would say to us what you need to say to us, even as you said to Simon Peter. I pray, Lord, that you will caution us. Pray, Lord, that you will help us to see our weaknesses so that we don't lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways we acknowledge you. So, Father, I pray for myself. I pray for Johnny today. I pray, Lord, that you would help us, that we would listen to your voice, and that we would understand our own weaknesses and realize that we can do nothing without you. And Lord, I pray for our friends who may listen to this podcast. I pray, Father, for the youth pastor who is struggling in his own weakness, and he's trying to lead a group of youth, and he's got his own struggles and issues. I pray, Lord, that you will help that youth pastor to understand that he's only strong when he becomes weak in himself and becomes strong in you. I pray you'll give him hope of forgiveness and restoration, that he can continue on, and that you've got great plans for him in the future. I pray for every discouraged pastor. I pray, Lord, for leaders who have, in the light of new circumstances, doesn't really know which way to go and which way to lead. I pray, Lord, that you will grant to them the ability to learn what you've been trying to teach us. I pray for the body of Christ. I pray for the church itself, not just a denomination, but your church in the world. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to see clearly what the future needs to be, and help us to lay aside the sin and the weight that does so easily beset us, and help us to look unto you, Lord Jesus. You're the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before you, you conquered, you overcame, and that we can conquer and overcome as well. Lord, for every struggling Christian, for every mother, for every father who feels like a failure, and Lord, perhaps they have failed, I pray, Lord, that you'd give them the hope and the assurance that you can turn their failure around and you can use them as instruments for your glory and for your honor. Holy Spirit, now we lean on you and ask you to whisper into the heart of every individual what they need to hear, and may they respond in an appropriate way to what you're saying to them. We pray and we ask these things in the wonderful name of our loving Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.